Just a reminder before we begin, next week my father will be giving a special shiur here in my place. He'll be giving the shiur on Inyanei Chanukah, a discussion about what the topic is going to be. I was sent a topic to tell my father, and something about chumras, but apparently it's not clear really. Right, it's posted outside. I'm not sure exactly if that's going to stay or not. I don't know. Whatever. So, show up and you'll find out. Next Wednesday night, my rav 8 o'clock and the shiur is 8:15. And then the following week, I'm going to be out of town, so I won't be able to give the shiur. So we'll meet again in 2 weeks. So let's make sure we have enough to say tonight that we can chazer it for 2 straight weeks. So again, we discussed last week, we mentioned that what we're going to talk about this week is a shiloh that I've gotten, I think, almost 10 times since I've been in the White Shul. I haven't been here that long, but I guess it's very nogeya. And that question is it mutter for a person to make a 7-stick candelabra? Am I allowed to buy a leichter that has 7 different lights on it, 7 different places? And does it make a difference if the leichter is round and not like the menorah? So I just want to go through the sugya. Honestly, I never really went through the sugya till this week. And it's very, very geschmack. That's why I put a lot of sources on here, because I want to go through it together, because there's a lot of different parts to this Gemara that really are very applicable. So let's begin with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. And it's a long Gemara, but I think many, many different aspects of this Gemara are very, very important lahalacha. So let's begin like this. Demus Tzuras HaLavana. The Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah is discussing what used to happen when people came in for Kiddush HaChodesh. So you had two Edom come in and they say, I saw the moon and I think that it's Rosh Chodesh. So the question is, how are we supposed to know if they're telling the truth or not? So generally, when you have two Edom come in on a regular case, so we ask them, was he wearing a white shirt or a black shirt? Was he wearing a pink sweater or an orange sweater? So we ask all these different questions to figure out, are they telling the truth? But how are we supposed to ask questions to those who come in and discuss about the sight of the Levana? So the Gemara says that Rem Gamliel, who was the Nasi at the time, had to mus tzuras halavana ha'ilo le Rem Gamliel b'tavla u'b'kosel. Rem Gamliel had these images of different pictures of the moon. So he had a picture of a moon like this, a picture of a moon like that, this sliver, that sliver. So basically, when the Edom used to come in, shebahen mares ha'hadyotos v'omer ha'kazer yisa u'kazet, the same way we would do Drisha v'chakira, the same way we would find out from any other Edom when they come into Bezdin, we would ask him, is the sweater like this or like that? Was the gun this shape or that shape? So too over here, when the Edom come in for the Kiddush HaChodesh, he shows them all the pictures and he says, did it look like this or did it look like that? So then the Gemara says, commenting on this Mishnah, how could it be? How did Rabbi Gamliel have these pictures of the moon? Ayumi Shari, is this permissible? V'haksiv, don't we know what it says? Lo sa suniti, the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Lo sa suniti, and we darshan from that, that lo sa sun ki demus shamasha. You're not allowed to make something which is a demus shamasha. Now, what does it mean, my shamashim? So we'll see in the Gemara exactly what that means. Amar Abaye, no. Lo asra Torah ela shamashim she'ef shalasas kemosan. No, the Gemara, when it said, when it darshans in the pasuk lo sa sun iti, lo sa sun ashamasha, that just means you're not allowed to make something which is ef shalasas kemosan, which is really plausible that you're going to make the same replica of what the actual item looks like. Kidatanya, lo yasa adam bayis tavnis hechel. You're not allowed to make a house with the same dimensions as the Beis Hamikdash. Achsadra tavnis ulam. Chatzir keneged azara. Shulchan keneged shulchan. I'm not allowed to make a table the same size as the shulchan. Menorah keneged menorah. And obviously this is where this comes into play. We'll see more details later. Aval osa shel chamisha v'shel shisha v'shel shmona. If I want to make a menorah, I'm allowed to make a menorah with 5, 6, or 8 sticks, kanim, coming out of the menorah, not sticks, what do you call them?
Branches.
Branches coming out of the menorah. V'shel shiva lo yasa. However, if I want to make a menorah for my own private home, and I want to have 7 branches coming out of the menorah, that is not permissible. Says the Gemara, why? Even if it's shel shama tachos, even if it's made from other metals other than gold, that's also aser. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah, Amar, av shel eitz. Even if it's made out of wood, it's also aser. Why? Why? Because at the time when the Chashmonaim rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have enough money to go ahead and make a menorah from gold, so they made one out of wood. That's what the Gemara assumes here. So therefore the Gemara says, if I'm not allowed to make a menorah in the same form as they had in the Beis HaMikdash, that includes not only Zav, it includes other metals as well. And now, says the Gemara, not only does it include other metals, it also includes making a menorah with 7 branches out of wood. That would be us. Says the Gemara, Amr lo misham raya, what are you saying? In the times of the Chashmonaim, they didn't really make a menorah made from wood. Rather, shvudin shel barzel hayu, they had very cheap metal, iron. Mechipam b'v'eitz, they coated them with cedar wood to make them look a little fancier because the metal looked very cheap. But really, the Etzem HaMenorah, the menorah itself, was made from metal as well. So the Gemara of Yer assumes that later on when they got richer, they made it from silver, and then later on when they got richer, they made it from gold. But be it as it may, from this part of the Gemara so far, what we have is, one is not allowed to make any house which is the same size as the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to make a menorah the size of the menorah, and a shulchan the size of the shulchan. That's what the Gemara tells us. However, if you change it from the way the structure of the menorah or the shulchan were made in the Beis HaMikdash, then that would be permissible. Therefore, if I make a menorah made from 5 branches or 8 branches or 6 branches, that would be permissible. Says the Gemara further. So as of now, the only thing we know that it's usher to make is something which we know the parameter, which we know the dimensions of that particular item. So says the Gemara, "V'shamashim she'ef shalasas kamosan mishari." You mean to tell me that, let's say, the sun and the moon, right? You don't know the dimensions of the sun, so you can't really make a replica of the sun because you don't know what it is. So the Gemara says, "You mean to tell me that since I don't know the dimensions of the sun, therefore it's permissible for me to make a replica of the sun?" V'hatanya, don't we know it says lo sasun iti, and we darshan lo sasun kidmus shamashai hamashamshan lefanei b'marom. That seems to indicate I'm not allowed to make a tavnis. I'm not allowed to make something which looks like the sun or the moon. Amar Abaye, no, lo asotora ela demus arba panim bahadi adadi. No, the Gemara just means on the Kisei HaKavod we know that there are 4 different figures on the Kisei HaKavod. Rashi there writes Shar Adam, Aryeh, and Nesher, 4 different creatures. So that's what you're not allowed to make. But other things, the sun and the moon, the Gemara assumes now would be mut. Frak the Gemara, what do you mean? Ela meyata, parts of Adam l'chutei tishtri. You mean you're allowed to make a sculpture of an actual individual, of a real person? Because the Gemara assumed before, you're only not allowed to make all 4 of these things together, because that's what's on the Kisei HaKavod. But to make the parts of Adam l'chutei, just to make a sculpture of one person, that should be mutter. Allah matanya, kala partzufas mitarim, chutz miparts of Adam. Don't we have a brisa that says one is allowed to make all different types of sculptures other than one of a real person? Amar Rav Huna b'Reidah Rav Ida, b'Reidah Rav Idi mipirkei d'Abai Shmieli lo sasun iti, and we darshan lo sasun osi. So now the Gemara makes another revision. Not only you're not allowed to make demus of shar Adam Aryeh Nesher, not only you're not allowed to make the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash or the Shulchan, the menorah, says the Gemara, you're also not allowed to make a demus of a person. Vishar shamashim, frak the Gemara, vishar shamashim ishari. Do you mean to tell me anything outside of the sun, outside of these 4 things? Shar, Adam, Aryeh, Nesher, you're saying that's mutar for hatani lo sasun iti lo sasun kedemus shamashai hamashamshim lefalib mamarom kegon ofanim strafim v'chayis hakodesh malachi hasharif. Not allowed to make pictures of that either. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye lo asotel el shamashim shebemadher elya. There seem to be 2 levels in the Shamayim. There's the level which is very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that you're not allowed to make. That's the Shar, that's the Aryeh, the Adam. But then we have Malachim, nah, they're not in the big leagues. The Malachim don't hang out in the Mother HaElyon, they only hang out in the, Malachim are part of the Mother HaElyon, but Mother HaTachton, meaning the sun and the moon, that would be permissible. Frakti Gemara, so far so good? Mm-hmm. Frakti Gemara.
When we say the most, does that mean it's 3-dimensional or just a flat drawing?
Excellent question. So we'll see in the Rambam as we go further. Now we're just getting the Gemara.
Well,
yeah.
I think there was an Kisei HaKavod on your face. It wasn't a whole body.
Right.
So why wouldn't you be able to make a whole body?
If you can't even make a face.
So you don't make the face, you make a side. Whatever it might be, but it doesn't stop.
You're saying if you just make a person's arm, that's mutter. Anachanami, that's for sure mutter. That would be permissible. Then says the Gemara, B'sheba Madra Atachta Mishari, you mean to tell me that those parts of creation that are not part of the upper leagues of Shamayim, meaning the sun, the moon, the stars, all the mazalas, you mean to tell me those things I am allowed to replicate? Ay, b'hatanya asher b'shamayim, which says in the pasuk asher b'shamayim mimal, and we darshu from there, l'rabbis chama levano kochavim mazalos, mimal l'rabbis malachi asharis. So I'm not allowed to make Shamayim v'aretz either. Says the Gemara, ki tanya hi la'avdam. No, that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to make a demus of Shamayim, or a demus of malachim, or a demus of Kochavim Mazalus. Rather, that just means you're not allowed to serve the sun or the moon. In fact, the Gemara Ila Avdam, if all we're describing here is the iser for a person to serve the sun and the moon, I shilshul katanami, then even a worm, even a little fly, you're not allowed to serve that either. Why do you have to go say you're not allowed to serve the sun? You're not allowed to serve anything. Anachanami says the Gemara, you're right. Titania Asher Ba'aretz L'Rabbis Haram Megavoyos Yamim Unaharis Hafikim V'Geyos Mitachas The rabbi shilshal katan. Fine, you're right. If we're only discussing serving something other than God, so that includes anything outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, one would not be allowed to serve. So now the Gemara strikes again. You mean to tell me that the only thing that's usher is serving, but making it is actually mutter? Ay, va'asiya gredasa mishari. Do you mean to tell me that making any of these kinds of things would be permissible? The hatanya lo sa'asuni ti. And the Gemara learns from there, lo sa'asun kidemus shamashai hamashamshin lefanei kigon chama levana kochav mazalos. It's mefurish. It says, not only you're not allowed to serve chama levana kochav mazalos, you're also not allowed to make a demus, to make a replica of Nichama Levana Kochav Mazalos. Now, just to recap, the reason why we're bringing all of this into the Gemara is because the Gemara began by saying Rabbi Gamliel had all these pictures in his house of the moon. Now the Gemara gets to the punchline. Finally, after 20 lines, the Gemara says, here's the punchline. We have a Mefurisha Issa that says you're not allowed to make something which is a replica of the sun or the moon. So how is Rabbi Gamliel allowed to do so? Just Derech Agav, the Darkei Tshuva points out, the Sfasamis writes this on Shas as well, you see from this Gemara that not only is it usur, the Gemara is assuming that not only is it usur to make a full picture of a moon or the sun, but even to make a slice of it. Because what Rabbi Gamliel, which kind of pictures did he have in his house? Beginning of the moon, just a little sliver of the moon. So you see already that just the crescent, that just the small part of the moon, that was already part of the isur that the Gemara is assuming here. It's an interesting point, which brings to a fore a little bit, meaning, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear, this is really not our sugya for tonight, but you're not allowed to take a picture of the sun or the moon or the horizon or of the sunset, something like that. You're not allowed to do that. My father was very upset when the OU printed the Haggadah from Rav Soloveitchik. It's the Exalted Evening Haggadah. Anyone saw it? So that Haggadah has a picture of the sunset on the cover. So my father said, this is Rav Soloveitchik. He held for not following the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to take pictures. The Mus Chama Levana is Usur. It's much smaller than the actual sun. It doesn't matter. The Gemara over here assumes that if you try to replicate it, even though we don't know the dimensions of the sun, still, that is not permissible. So that's a very questionable thing that we find sometimes people are not so careful about.
If it's in the background, that will be considered to be taking a picture of the sun tends to be in the background or the moon.
Oh, meaning if it's blocked by buildings, you mean?
No, just you're taking a picture of anywhere, but you just the horizon's up there.
I think you're not supposed to. The question is, what's the story with a picture? Because, I mean, we're not so makbid about taking pictures of people, right? Hasidish Rebbes are very makbid, but we don't see people being so makbid. So that's the question. Is there a difference between Demus Adam? Many Achronim say the Netziv has a tshuva like this, and others say that no, the Isra of Demus Adam doesn't apply nowadays because no one bows down to people. There's no one who serves people. So there's no reason to assume that there's an Isra to have it in your house either. But there are people who still serve the Kochavim, the Mazalos, or the Shemesh V'Yareach. There are those who do that. So therefore, there is still what to be more machmir for that than for Demus Adam. Okay, let's move a little further. Maybe we'll have a different shir on that topic. Also a very important halacha lemaisa issue. So I ask the Gemara again, just to review where we're up to. The Gemara wants to know. So bottom line, we have an Isser to make a replica of the sun or the moon, Kochavim, Mazalos. So how was Rav Gamliel allowed to have these pictures in his house? Says the Gemara, one answer, Shani Rami Gamliel Dacher Masalo. What do you think? Rami Gamliel was a Shegetz? You think he made this Demus Halavana by himself? He knew the din. He knew you're not allowed to do it. He had some guy who came in and said, hey, I have a great idea. When the Edim come in to tell you about the Levana, why don't we make pictures in order that they'll be able to show you exactly what they saw? So this other bum off the street made them for him and dropped them off in his house. That's what the Gemara says. Aye, Frekta Yarmar, you mean to tell me if somebody else makes it for you, then it's Mutter? Aye. Don't we know a story with Rabbi Yehuda that someone else made something for him? Someone made a demus of an adam for Rabbi Yehuda and he dropped it off in his house as a gift. And the Gemara says that the other Amoraim told Rabbi Yehuda, you better knock out the nose. Make sure it's clear to people that this is not a real person. So the Gemara says, no, asam chosamu bolid havei mishem chashda. Fine, so the Gemara has another reason why they thought that Rabbi Yehuda's story was different. Okay. Frakti Gemara. So what's the problem with me keeping it around my house? Somebody else made it. The Pasuk says, strictly speaking, lo sa'asun iti, means you are not allowed to make it on your own. So what's the problem? If I didn't make it and someone else drops it off in my house, what's the issue? So the Gemara assumes the issue is chashad. The issue is that somebody else is going to think, oh, he has pictures of the sun and the moon in his house. They don't know, the innocent bystander doesn't know that you had someone else make it for you. They think that you did it on your own. They think maybe Rami Gamliel is the one who's bowing down to the sun and the moon. So says the Gemara, Umicha Shinan Lachajda, do you mean to tell me that we really are concerned about Hashad, that someone who passes by is going to think that you're violating Yisurim? Bah, don't we know? Hahi Bei Knishta, there was a certain shul, the Shaf V'Yasav Ben Aharda, Dehavi Bei Andarta, it was a big shul in Aharda, and they made an Andarta, which means like a statue or a sculpture of some minister or some governor. All the Amoraim used to daven there. No one stopped themselves from going to that shul. Why are you allowed to attend the shul? They have a quasi Avodah Zarah there. They have a statue or a sculpture of somebody, and we know that's Aser. Why aren't they afraid that someone's going to think that maybe they were in violation of the Isser themselves? Says the Gemara, no, Rabim Shiny. When we're dealing with a Rabim, when we're dealing with a big population, so there's no chashad when it comes to a Rabim. Now this is a very important point, halacha lemaisa. Rabim Shiny. Let's say, I'll give you a personal example. When we got married, so there's a relative of my wife, who's, I hope, not listening to this year, who made us a wedding gift, because my wife is marrying a rabbi, so she made us, as a sign of appreciation, she made us a sculpture of a rabbi. She is a, I don't know what you call them. Sculptress? So she is a sculptress. So she made a sculpture of a rabbi with a beard, a long white beard, okay, for my wife. And she wrote the names on the back with the wedding date and a whole thing. Very nice. So I said, we can't take it home because it's the Musadam. We're not allowed to hold on to the Musadam. So I wouldn't take it home. I left it by my in-laws and it was their problem. So then the shaila was, after a while, I asked my father, well, what are we supposed to do? I can't throw it out. She spent, I don't know how long, making this thing, so I can't really throw it out. What happens if one day she's going to come back and ask me, you know, how it's doing? So did I water the sculpture, I guess? So I asked my father, what should I do? He said, no, the halacha l'maisa is rabim shiny. If you have a rabim, no one's going to be choshed that the rabim is really making the sculpture to serve Avodah Zarah. So my father said, go to the YU library and drop it off on a shelf there. Looks nice. No one's going to think twice about it. Everyone's going to think, oh, it's a piece of art. So that's what I did. I went one day, I just dropped it off in the library, and there it is. And
donated.
Yeah, it's donated. They have a sculpture there also of Dr. Belkin, a whole bust till here. So there my father thought, well, that's not pashut at all, because obviously somebody commissioned them to make it. That's not stam acher masalo, someone else made it and it ends up in my house. They must have paid someone to make that. Who else would stam just make a sculpture of Dr. Belkin? It turned out they didn't. It turned out somebody loved Dr. Belkin so much, so he also dropped it off and donated it to the library. So you see, I'm not the first one, but basically what you see from this Gemara is when it's a rabim, so it's mutter. Now, what is the definition of a rabim for this purpose? When do we assume that when there's a rabim, there's no chashad? So the Shach writes in Yerudeus and Kuf Mem Aleph, quoting Yerbeni Yerucham, that already two people is already considered a rabim. Big chiddush. Now, where does he get this from? He gets it based on a Gemara in Brachos, that the Gemara says, I'm allowed to go into a dark, not well-lit area, and no one's going to think I'm going to meet a zoner there, as long as I'm with another person. So you see, with two people, there's no chashad. So the shach makes it sushtel, you see from over there that there's no chashad, so to over here. Well, I don't know that it's exactly the same. And the Rabbeinu Yerucham writes over here, even though there's no chashad by a rabim, still, mechur hadavar. It's mechur hadavar. So after I read the shach this week, I felt bad. Mechur hadavar, so it's still not right what I did. I had the problem. Someone gave me a sculpture. Now I'm going to drop it off in the YU library. So you say, rabim, there's no chashad. But if the shach says it's still mechur adavar, so what did I gain? Why is it fair to the library that I should do it to them? It's not, still not right. So my father explained to me that a chiddush. He thought, no. The shach over here writes that a rabbin means two people. You're right. If it's just a rabbin of two people, then it's mechur adavar. But if we're talking about a municipality, we're talking about a shul or a base knesses or a library where there's thousands of people going through, so then it's not even mechur adavar. The Gemara over here assumes that Ram Gamliel was a rabbin. I fracked the Gemara of Haram Gamliel Yachidu. He was a private person, so what's the rabbim? Gemara says, no, since he was the Nasi, so Shrichi Rabim Gabe, there were thousands, hundreds of people passing through his house all the time, so that had the din like a library. So that's what my father thought over here, a Chiddush Halacha L'maisa. Yes, the Shach says that it's already considered a rabbim with two people, and the Shach says Mechur Hadavar, but the Shach only meant Mechur Hadavar when it's two people, but when you have a real rabbim, not stam 10 people or 5 people, when you have a real rabbim, hundreds of people, that's not even Mechur HaDavar, that's Mutter L'Chatchil. That's what the Gemara says over here. So my father told us we would be allowed to keep it in the library. This comes up Halacha L'Maisa, let's say in Hilchos Shabbos. We assume if, let's say, you're building a shul, right? So if I'm building a private home and I hire someone b'kablanus, I don't pay them by the hour, I pay them by the job. I hire a contractor. So I want them to build my house. So the din is that I'm supposed to tell them not to work on Shabbos. Why? Everybody knows it's not me. But still the Gemara says, because of Chashat, people who walk by the construction site are going to see the workers working on Shabbos, and they're going to be Chosha that maybe you're not careful about Shabbos. Says the Gemara, says the Mechaber, what happens if I'm building a shul, or I'm building a public property, I'm building a library, or whatever it is, and it's the Jewish community is paying for the shul, or paying for the Beis Medrash, so are we allowed to have the workers work on Shabbos? Meaning, I'm not hiring them specifically to work on Shabbos, I'm hiring them to do the job. They happen to use Shabbos as well, in order to finish the job quicker. So am I allowed to do that or not? So the Shulchan Aruch assumes yes. Why? Because Barabim Lekha Chashad. The whole issue of not having a worker work in my house on Shabbos is because of Chashad, but when we're dealing with a whole shul, a whole municipality, then there's no concern of Chashad at all, and Barabim Lekha Chashad. So the Chassam Sofer takes this a step further. He says, well, what happens? There was a community somewhere in Europe that sent the Chassam Sofer the Shaila. What happened? A whole bunch of houses in a row burnt down. The whole Yiddish shtetl burnt down. So they were all out of a house. They were all living in the JCC or whatever it was. So they wanted their homes back. So they all together hired a company to build all the row of homes back. So the Chassam Sofer said, well, is that considered a rabbin? Well, each house is being built privately, but at the same time, everybody knows that it's the whole group together hired this construction company to build the houses. So the Chassam Sofer is not sure, should that be considered like a rabbin, because it's on behalf of 10 people together, or do you consider that a yachid, because a rabbin only means a shul, or a library. A rabbin doesn't mean a private home. Even if 10 people hired the construction company, still, they're building 10 private homes. So that's a big suffix, and many Achronim feel that the Chassam Sofer's jump is not really accurate. I think many Achronim assume that, no, they're building a private house. It's only mutter when they're building a really public area, a really communal area. Yeah, but I just felt bad doing that. She spent so many months.
You have to be the front, the back, knock it out the back, take off some of the hair.
Take off some of the hair. Would that work? I think it has to be one of the features. Yeah. I think. The Gemara over here, when it talks about it, I skipped that part because it's not really Nogea to our Shir. The Gemara here that discusses it talks about knocking the nose out.
Right.
So I think it has to be a feature. I didn't look into that. I don't know, but I think so.
So this answers.
Very good, right. So he was a yachid. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Gamliel's house had so many people going through, it was like the Bezdin. Right? So the Gemara assumes that was fine. Iba Yisema says the Gemara, another answer, le'islamid of it. No, that Rabbi Gamliel did it. He wasn't doing it to make a demus of Shamayim, to make a demus of arts. He was doing it le'islamid. He was doing it because he wanted to learn from it. And uksiv lo'salamid lasos, abalatalamid lahavin ulahoris. If a person is doing it because he wants to learn exactly, you know, he wants to learn the halachas, he wants to make sure the Edim really know what size moon they saw, that would be permissible. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva in Yeridaya that, well, what does it mean l'islamit? Let's say I go to school, someone just asked me this in the shul a few weeks ago, let's say I'm in art school where they're teaching me how to do certain, you know, how to make certain sculptures, and one of the classes that they have to attend is learning how to make a sculpture of a person. So maybe you're going to say that's also l'islamit, because I'm doing it in order to learn the profession of being a sculptor. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, that's not called l'islami. L'islami means I want to learn from it. L'islami doesn't mean if I'm doing it for my profession and my profession gufa is going to be usur. That's not something that we would permit l'islami. Yeah.
Well, what's the whole issue with the moon?
Yeah.
The moon is the entire moon. The moon doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
We may see the moon differently because of the way the sunlight hits it.
Mm-hmm.
Always the same.
Right.
The moon does not change.
Right. So that's what I said before. The Darkei Tshuva points out from the fact that the Gemara over here is asking the whole Kasha and going through the whole Sugya, what kind of pictures did Rav Gamliel have in his house? He's testing out the Edim that came in at Rosh Chodesh. So what kind of moon did they see? They see a little sliver of the moon. So still the Gemara assumes that that's Aser, even though that's not the real moon. So that's what the Darkei Tshuva points out. It's a good insight. He says, you see from the Gemara clearly that the Gemara is under the assumption that even making a sliver of the moon or some sort of small part of it, although we know for real that that's not the moon is always the same, still the Darkei Tshuva assumes that that would be just as usher as if a person had made the entirety of the moon. So now let's look.
What happens?
Yeah.
Have that in the house.
So I said before, the Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshiv Davar. The Chayyadim writes this as well, that since nowadays no one serves people, so we really don't have to be concerned with making a Tzuras HaAdam anymore. That's what the Chayyadim and the Netziv write. The whole problem is not a problem anymore, because the whole Isser over here is, the whole Isser, meaning I'm not allowed to make it because it says Lo Sasaniti, but if the whole reason for leaving it in my house, the only reason to have an Isser of leaving it in my house is because of Chashad, because someone's going to think that I made it, or someone's going to think that I commissioned somebody to make it, so then he... Right,
and
Anachanami.
And you would have had a problem. You could have just kept this.
He's saying we could have put a sign on it.
Yeah.
Right. So does everyone read a sign? If I leave a big red, you know.
If they read it or not, that's fine. We can put it up in case.
No, no. Meaning, what do you mean? If someone walks by my window and nobody's reading the sign. Okay. I guess I wasn't so creative.
Take it back.
I don't even know where it is anymore.
This is a digression. If you ever want to see the Beis HaMikdash down to its last detail,
oh, we're going to get to that.
Sistine Chapel,
yeah,
which is a replica down to the last dimension.
So we're going
to
talk about that in just 5 minutes, I think, maybe a few more. So let's. Yeah, we'll have a shiur about that some other time. Seems to be pretty usher. Okay. Sistine Chapel? Yeah. Ain lahatir b'chlal. Yeah, we'll talk about it another time. Nah. Okay. So the Rambam, hey, if you worship him, Havad is usher. If you worship him, yeah.
They have it, sure.
Oh, you mean in a shul?
Yeah, they have it in shul.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big question in Rabbi Mordechai Tendler's shul. No, but if they worship him, it's usher. So in Rabbi Mordechai Tendler's shul, they have a big picture of Rav Moshe, the whole length of the wall. He's a grandson of Rav Moshe. So they have a big picture of Rav Moshe, the whole length of the wall, if I'm not mistaken.
In the shul,
I think.
But you're saying there's no issue today about
that. Right, so that was what people said. They don't worship him, it's just a beautiful picture of Moshe. They want you to have more Yerushalayim, so you should think of the way Rav Moshe Davin, you know, the beautiful picture of him with his tzitzis. So, okay, so that's okay. Obviously, B'shal Rabim, there's no chashad. Fine. So let's move on. The Rambam, when he quotes these halachas, he quotes them in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam over there writes, I didn't put it on here, but you'll take my word for it, the Rambam is in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to make a Shemesh, you're not allowed to make a Yareach, you're not allowed to make this, not that, all the different things, Kochavim, Mazalos, Tzuras HaAdam, and he does not mention in Hilchos Avodah Zarah about making Tavnis HaHechel, Tavnis HaMishkan, making the Shulchan, making the Menorah. Doesn't appear anywhere. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in Hilchos Beis HaMikdash, that's where he quotes all the dinim about not making the Beis HaMikdash, not making the Shulchan, not making the Menorah. So the Minchas Chinuch points out in Mitzvah Lamates, Minchas Chinuch writes, why is it that the Rambam seems to split the sugya up? We just learned through the whole sugya together. Yes, I left out a few lines, but basically the Gemara seems to say that all of this is part of the general Isser of Lo Sasaniti. So says the Minchas Chinuch, no, the Rambam learned up the Gemara differently. The Rambam assumed that there's two separate sugyas going on here, the Maskana. On the one hand, you're not allowed to make a Adam, you're not allowed to make a Chama, Levanas, Kochav, Mazalas, Malachim, all these different things. That you're not allowed to do because of Chashad for Avodah Zarah. Lo Sasaniti. On the other hand, we have a separate Isser of what? We have a separate Isser of making Shulchan, Menorah, Beis HaMikdash, Heichal. That is because of Morah HaMikdash. A person has to have Kavod for the Beis HaMikdash, have to have Morah for the Beis HaMikdash, and that's disrespectful to the Beis HaMikdash for a person to replicate an item that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the way the Minchas Chinuch understands the Rambam. And based on that, look at this Chiddush in the Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Reish Nun Dalet. It's with that background in mind from Mitzvah Lama Tess that I bring you to this.
Even if it's for learning purposes?
No, the Gemara says Lislamit is mutter.
Oh, so we can have the pictures of the
Shulchan. Oh, so that's what I want to get to. I first want to begin with this very important Minchas Chinuch. Everyone have it? Mitzvah Reish Nun Dalet on the bottom of the page, it's Beis. Says the Minchas Chinuch as follows. Uvaguf hadin, don't worry, we're going to get to the candelabra soon. This is just all the background for the sugya that's very important. Says the Minchas Chinuch, Uvaguf hadin de'asir lasos tamdas ha-mishkan, tzarech ani lehislamid bo. Minchas Chinuch says, I have a bone to pick with this isser. I'm not so clear that this is usser. Hey chashir lesser. How are we supposed to know what I'm not allowed to make? So what would you say? Whatever the dimensions are in the Torah, that's what I'm not allowed to do. No? So the Michas Chinuch says, yeah, you're right. For the Shulchan, the Menorah, yeah, we have the dimensions. But for the other parts of the Beis HaMikdash, not so clear what the dimensions were. Says the Minchas Chinuch as follows, V'hinei Rashi b'Avodah Zarah uvetur yoredeya mevura, the dafka Beis HaTavnis Bayis Tavnis Heichal ba'arko v'rachma v'ruma, only if you make it a three-dimensional structure that is exactly the same as the Beis HaMikdash, that's when it's usur. V'mshinek tzashari, if I change it at all from the way the dimensions were set forth in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, then it is permissible. Imkein kashali, says the Minchas Chinuch, if that's correct, that as long as you change it a little bit, it's mutter, ma zeh hashir lesser ha'idna. How are we supposed to know bizman hazeh what shir is usr? What does he mean? Debishleima demus chama levana v'dalet panim v'tzuris adam dehen kayam and tamid. We always have people in the world, so we're always going to know what is the form of a person that's not allowed to be made. However, imkein, Asurim lasas kamosa, that Torah asur lasas turas hamasham shem lefanav yisbarach, v'heim tamid b'mida echad. We always have people being more or less the same size, or being more or less the same shape, two eyes and a nose, we know what it is. V'chazinam d'nishtana tzurasam yibayis rishon l'bayis sheni. However, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the dimensions were different from the bayis rishon to the bayis sheni. V'chein bayis shlishi sheyibana b'mher b'yameinu, eni adu a tzurasa. We don't know exactly what size the bayis ha-shlishi is going to be. Kimavur b'ramam di, like the Rambam writes, the boni bayisheni banu me'ein dvarim hamufurashim yecheskel avaharbe dvarim stumamein. A lot of the dimensions are not clear in the Chumash, are not clear in the Navi, so therefore he says, we're not sure exactly what they are. Ukshayavo Mashiach HaShem Yisbarach Yareinenu az nidrosh mitoch psukim tamnas hamishkan. When Mashiach comes, then we'll take it up with Mashiach and ask him what are the right sizes, what are the right dimensions for the Mishkan, for the Beis HaMikdash. Imkein, kivin shenishtana tziraso, Eza tamnas asura lanu ha'idna. We don't know exactly what size, what dimension is going to be usher for us. Tamnas ha'mishkan, or tamnas bayis rishon, or bayis sheni, or b'shilo, haya tamnas acher, ki haya beis ha'banim. So Minchas Chinuch says, I'm not sure, the Rambam over here quotes this Gemara and says that it's usher to make a tamnas of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, or the Menorah. He says, I don't know exactly what that means. Imkein, ma neida'ata, what are we going to say nowadays? Ma leser v'lomer dekala binyanim shayu anata, usher lasis ketamnas davar zeh dochuk. Says the Minchas Chinuch, does that mean to say that since we're not sure exactly what size the Beis HaMikdash was, maybe I should conclude that it's usher for us to make any building? You're not allowed to build a house, you're not allowed to build an apartment building, because maybe that's what the Beis HaMikdash is going to look like. Well, that's ridiculous, says the Minchas Chinuch. That can't be. We have a right to live, so he says he's not sure what to do. V'od, and furthermore, D'hayim odiyim lanu chazal tzuras ha-mishkan shilo gam kein kedei leida tavniso al kein. So therefore he says, the Minchas Chinuch, and here's the Chiddush, listen to this. Ilula demistafina mechavroi. This is the humility of the Minchas Chinuch. He says, if I wasn't afraid to say so, the kosher came here abosai, Hayisi Omar, I would have suggested the following. The dinze eno milav hazeh, rak bizman, shebeis hamigdash kayam, aser lasos kitavniso. That's a very important line. Minchas Chinuch has a chiddush that maybe this whole iser only applies when the Beis HaMikdash is around. Again, Minchas Chinuch said in Mitzvah Lamites that this iser is really based on Mor HaMikdash. The whole iser, like the Rambam points out, is not because of Lo Sasaniti, rather it's because of Mor HaMikdash. So he says, maybe that's only when the Beis HaMikdash is around. Kegom Mizman HaMishkan, Haya Aser Lasas Ketzuras HaMishkan. Skip down a little bit to the next bold, Aval HaIdna. You have it? Oh, it's not bold on the sheet. Aval HaIdna. First word on the line is HaIdna. Aval HaIdna. Kivin ba'avonoseinu harabim eim eshamshin lefanav. Since nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, efshar de'eim b'chlal lav hazeh. Says the Minchas Chinuch, listen to this, anivus, v'hine ani kosev zos be'eima uv'yira. He says, the Chiddush makes a lot of sense to me, and I think it's correct, but he says, I'm petrified to say such a thing, ki hu lahakel be'isr da'araisa neged ha'poskim. And Chas Chinuch says, how come no one ever thought of this before? Makes a lot of sense logically, but you can't figure out why no one has ever thought of this idea. Ach Torah v'lomen ani tzarech, I can't hold back from saying it. It's a Chiddush in Torah. V'lo ucha lahavin, em yesh iser bizman hazeh, lasos tavnas azara, me'eza tavnas nesar, v'tzarech iyan bazeh. So that's what Minchas Chinuch points out, which is something very important halacha l'maisa. Maybe this whole iser doesn't apply at all. Because if we in fact learn like the Rambam that the whole iser is predicated on the fact that Mor HaMikdash is the impetus for the iser, well then nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and nowadays when we don't even know what the diameters, what the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash are going to be, so maybe there's no iser at all. That's the suggestion of the Minchas Chinuch. So we come to the question of Machon HaMikdash, right? So Machon HaMikdash, let's say they made a menorah. So is that mutter or is that not mutter? Well, you'll say they didn't make the menorah just stam that people should have it in their homes. They made it because they hope that that menorah is going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, correct? No? I think so. I think that was the point. So that's mutter. The question is, they made, let's say, a mini Israel, right? So if you go to mini Israel, I think they have an exhibit, mini Beis HaMikdash, right? They have a replica. So is that mutter or not? So, interestingly enough, Rashi and Avodah Zarah and many of the Rishonim, the Ritva, the Tur, and many other Rishonim, Tosis in Maseches Yoma, right, like this, also, that as long as you change the dimensions of the original Beis HaMikdash, that would now be permissible. It would not be part of the old Isser. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudeya, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Ches, here you have in number Dalid, Shulchan Aruch says, Lo Yase Bayis Tavnes Heichel. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's later on, okay? That Shulchan Aruch is the quote for later on in this year, but we'll get back to it. But basically, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that as well. As long as you change the dimensions a little bit, that is going to be permissible. The Shach and the Bir Agro agree to this, and they say, Halacha l'maisa, as long as you change it, is mutter. So, it's a very strange tshuva, but Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, the Rebbe of Yerushalayim, has a whole tshuva, one tshuva, then he has, in the later volume, he has another tshuva and a third tshuva about this. Are you allowed to make this Beis HaMikdash Muktan? Are you allowed to make a small, basically everything's to the same proportions, a model of the old Beis HaMikdash?
Scale model.
So is that permissible or not? And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in the first tshuva says, Aser Gomer, he can't figure out why it's mutter. And he says there were many who used to do this on a Shabbos afternoon by the Parshios of Truma Tetzaveh when we're learning about Hakamas HaMishkan. So many fathers used to sit there with the kids and show them what the Mizbeach looked like, what the Shulchan looked like, what the dimensions were, the scaled down model. So he says, and to do that on Shabbos is Aser, how you allowed to build on Shabbos. The whole tshuva is a Pella from beginning to end. It doesn't make whatever, it's very questionable. So how do you say, I'm not saying this on my own, Rav Moshe already attacks him. He says, what are you talking about? How is that also to make on Shabbos? The whole thing, it's not in anything. It's like building with Lego. What are you going to say? It's an Isser Bona on Shabbos? Very hard to say. And Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva in Yerudei Chele Gimel that Stami doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, L'chatchila, you're allowed to make this. It's not the same size. It's the same proportions. Doesn't make a difference. The Shulchan Aruch, quoting all the Rishonim, assumes that as long as the dimensions are changed, there's nothing longer to worry about. That would simply be permissible. And Rav Moshe comes out to make a mini Beis HaMikdash, or to make a mini Israel, when it has parts of the Beis HaMikdash, even to different, it's a smaller size, but it's the same proportions. Rav Moshe assumes that for sure would be mutter. So now let's get back over here to our discussion. With all this in mind,
if it's the same dimension,
same scale, Rav Moshe assumes it would still be mutter.
Oh,
it's a very good question. Very good. So if you look back in the Gemara originally, I think it's the first part, the Gemara says, here, look at the first part of the Gemara. Amar Abaye lo asra Torah el shamashim she'efshar la'asas kamosa. What does that mean? Meaning, we know the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara assumes that you're not allowed to make, as long as you change the dimensions, that's fine. Then the Gemara says, how about the sun and the moon, which we don't know the dimensions of? So the Achronim point out, you see from here...
It's a circle. What is this? What, you want to make a moon 250,000 miles wide?
So you can't make it. It's not possible, right?
We know. I think they know scientifically.
Right, so the Gemara is assuming we don't really know, at the times of the Gemara, they certainly didn't know what the size of the sun, the size of the moon were. So the Gemara is saying, you have a guy who's sitting here in New York, and he's looking... Well, let me make something that looks like the moon. So is that really part of the Isser? So the Gemara says, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, since that's a very defined measurement, so the only Isser is those defined measurements. When it comes to the sun and the moon, since it's impossible for a person to make anything the size of the sun or the moon and the Kochav Mazalos, the Gemara assumes that even a scaled-down model, if you're making it as a replica, that would be Isser as well. That's what...
I thought the reason here was because Hashanah Bazar.
Yeah.
Not for that reason.
No. Chashad Avodah Zarah is if somebody else makes it and I keep it in my home, that's chashad. But lo sasun iti is that I'm not allowed to make it. That's the real issue. Chashad is just the secondary issue. So that's an important point. So now let's move on. Yeah.
What happens today in school?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're studying the moon, you're studying the stars, there are pictures.
Right.
You're allowed to have that in the yeshiva.
Yeah, so first of all, the Gemara says lehislamed is mutter. So what does lehislamed actually mean? Right? So the Gemara says lehislamed means that Rabbi Gamliel was trying to use it as a learning experience for the Edim, that they should be able to tell him exactly what they saw or what they didn't see. It was for Gans Klal Yisrael to figure out if it's Rosh Chodesh or not. I think this would be certainly part of lehislamed. We're trying to understand the Chachmas HaTeva, we're trying to understand the world, and plus it's in a rabbin. We're talking about a school with hundreds of people.
Let's go back to kindergarten.
Yeah.
And teach the kids how to draw the sun and the moon. They draw it in their drawings.
Right.
Are you allowed to do that?
Definitely not scale.
I mean, they're drawing, you know, right. Stick figures of father, children, and there's always a sun there with everything. Now, you've drawn the picture of a sun. That's the sun, they say.
Uh-huh.
Are you allowed to do that in kindergarten?
I mean, I think it's clear that that's not...
But then again, yeah.
So you're saying, where do you draw the line?
Right.
I mean, there's an interesting discussion the Chazanish and other Achronim of his age have about buying a doll. Are you allowed to buy a doll for your child or not? Chazanish said he was machmer that you have to knock the nose off the doll. I've never seen anyone who does that. Has anyone ever seen that? What? Seen him do that? So that's, I'm saying, it's a question. Where do you draw the line? It's not a simple sugya. Not a simple sugya. Maybe we'll have another shir, maybe about the sun and the moon and kochav and mazal. It's an important concept to discuss. So now, if that's okay, maybe we'll get back to that some other time. But now, maybe let's... L'islamid what? So I thought l'islamid means that I want to understand, when I read the Chumash, I want to understand, what am I reading? It's very hard to understand what the Mishkan was, what the dimensions... Until I saw the Mishkan V'Kalev book, I didn't understand what anything was. No? I assume most people are like that. I mean, for anyone who ever has the chance to go to the Living Torah Museum in Borough Park, anyone ever been there? Oh, we should take a trip. It's Mamish Gevaldik. It's an unbelievable place to go. I went once with, I brought Rav Asher Weiss there. He opened it up, special. I went once with my father and Rabbi Twersky. We went, the three of us, and a couple of Talmidim. And then I went a few months later, I brought Rav Asher Weiss, and Rav Asher got a call in the middle from the Gaivit of Yerushalayim. He had a shiloh they were going to discuss. And Rav Asher picked up the phone, and he says, who's this? He says, hi, it's... I don't know if he calls himself the Gaivit, but whatever. He says, hi, it's me. So they started talking a little, and Rav Asher says, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to call you back. I'm in the most amazing place I've ever been in my life. I'm like, okay. The Gaivit has to wait for the Living Torah Museum. But it was just, it's an amazing place, but what I found amazing about it is it brings so much of the Mishnayos and the Gemara alive. Meaning, till you see it, till you understand exactly what these things are, when you feel it and you touch it and he shows you what everything is, he has items, tons of items from the times of the Beis HaMikdash.
They have coins with images on it.
Yeah.
That's the images.
Yeah.
Right. 1521.
It's a Pella. It's Mamash Pella. And you could go with Talmidei Chachamim and they're... I'm saying it's not just Stam like a museum. It's an amazing experience. It's kedai for everyone to go. But basically, let's get back to our discussion about the seven-stick candelabra. So, interestingly enough, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank writes a tremendous chiddush, and Rav Asher Weiss likes to quote this also. He's told me in the past from the Sholem Eishiv that, hey, we have the famous Beis Yosef's Kasha. Why is Chanukah 8 days and not 7 days, right? We're a week before Chanukah. Says the Sholem Eishiv and says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, not quoting the Sholem Eishiv, but I'll tell you why. Because they were concerned if we're going to make Hanukkah 7 days, maybe someone's going to make a seven-stick menorah and he's going to violate the Isra of Lo Sasoniti. You hear this? So that's the reason why we didn't make 7 days of Hanukkah, because we're concerned someone's going to make it. Sounds like a little bit backwards. So Rav Asher once told me he doesn't think this is correct at all. It's impossible. Why? Because, I mean, Me'ikar Adin, you don't have to use a Chanukiah at all. You don't have to use... You don't have to, what? Right, you don't have to really make a menorah. My father said that in yeshiva, Reb Soloveitchik was a little absent-minded sometimes, so he said he used to fly in from Boston every week, and he didn't always remember to bring his menorah on Hanukkah. And he also didn't realize that it was a quarter to buy a little tin menorah down the block. He didn't realize that they sold them. So he went back to his room at night, and he realized, oh yeah, I don't have a menorah. So my father said he remembers the guys used to watch, and he melted the candles onto the windowsill. He wasn't makpid to have some. My father told me later that somebody, one of the Talmidim of Rav Moshe, wrote in the Sefer that comes out from the MTJ Kolo, the Torah V'Lahara. So someone wrote many years ago that Rav Moshe felt if you don't use a actual kli, if you don't use a menorah, you're not yotze the mitzvah. That's a big chiddush. The poskim don't say like that at all, because Rav Moshe assumed there has to be dumya the nes. It has to be like the nes, and just like the nes, they made it with a menorah. So too, we have to make a menorah as well. Okay.
Then oil would be ma'akev.
What?
Then oil would be
ma'akev. No. So I asked my father, then oil should be ma'akev. So he said, no. Candle is like it's the same. Okay. Whatever. There are those the Ma'aral, I think, and others say oil is ma'akev. We don't hold like that at all. And to the contrary, the Bali Atosha say it's better to use candles because they light nicer. That's what the Bali Atosha say. You know, my father, hopefully my mother's not listening to this either, but my father, since I was born, since I remember, my father every year says he wants to light candles. My mother every year sets up his menorah with oil, and because that's what her father did, and she's from, you know.
Why does he want to light the candles?
Because the Bali Atosha say that candles light nicer.
Right.
So it's a hiddur mitzvah to light with candles. The nace was a shemen zayis. Okay, but the candles light nicer. So every year my father, I know, wants to light candles. And every year my mother says, no, but this year the oil is going to light nicely. This year is going to light nicely. So we used to use the floaty wicks, and obviously those always drown. So then my mother got pipe cleaners one year, someone told her she should get, and those didn't light either. You try the pre-made things, they also don't light. Whatever. So finally we were kovei. When I got married, I said, I'll start my own minig. We're lighting with candles. That's it. So that's what we do.
And it lights beautifully with because you have good wicks.
Right. So you have to get the right ones. So then that's the question. So everyone says, "Oh, is it right to get the pop-off ones because you're not, you know, you're not getting your hands dirty?" And like, okay, I don't know. Whatever. Fine. So this one. What? Yeah. Fine. So Rav Asher Weiss thought that there's not a compelling reason. How can you say that the reason why they were misakin 7 days of Hanukkah was because they were concerned that maybe you're going to make a menorah with seven branches? Who said you have to have a menorah in the first place? So if you hold on Rav Moshe, okay, so you have to have a menorah, but like everybody else, you don't have to have a menorah. It's not ma'akev. You can just put your candles on the windowsill and that's fine. So it's very hard to say that that's the reason why one is not why they were misakin 8 days of Hanukkah instead of seven. Okay, so you have 150 million other tirutzim for the Beis Yosef Kasha. Yeah, with eight.
What?
With eight.
Yeah, but if you make it 7 days, then people will make menorahs with seven.
That's why.
That's what he says. That's what he says.
Oh, but he says that shouldn't be the reason.
No, meaning Rav Asher Weiss said that can't be the reason for the takana because no one said you need to do it.
But people do it.
Okay, so that's your problem. You're an amaretz. Meaning, if Chazal were misakin to make
thousands do it.
What do you mean?
No,
that's now. That's now. But the question is, how come originally they weren't misakin only 7 days? That's the Beis Yosef's kasha. Okay, so now let's look at another Menchas Chinuch. Look in number Gimel. 10 more minutes. Okay, we're going to try. I'm going to leave out a whole very fascinating segment of the shir. I'm telling you, we can have 10 other shirim on this topic, but there's a whole very fascinating segment that Rabbi Russ sent me, great Mar Mukumis, on this past week in an email, that, you know, a lot of shuls have a 7-branch menorah with light bulbs in it, electronic. So there's a whole discussion in the poskim whether or not that's mutter or not. Which is like...
Chabad has a 7-branch menorah.
Right, on the logo.
Yeah.
Chabad also, many of them bow down to the Rebbe. it was a big shayla in the OU. They use a lot of Chabad mashgichim in a lot of far-flung places because the Chabad is the only, generally a lot of the only representation. There's a big question. There are a lot of Chabadniks who actually pray to the Rebbe.
I don't believe it.
Gotta ask them. But we know a lot of very special people in Chabad who tell us that that is the case. Many of them believe that the Rebbe is not just Mashiach. He's more than that. So if that's the case, then you have to figure out, are these people really kosher Mashgichim or not? Okay, so that's the OU's problem.
That
not
ours.
Okay. Now the Pesach Tshuva says Bishalakum is not an issue by Yisrael Mumer. It's okay.
Just a quick, in the original Gemara,
yeah,
it says Abol Ose Shel Chamisha Veshel Shisha Veshel Shmona.
Right.
Why didn't have to say Chamisha? Because it just says Shisha Veshmona.
Okay. Anachanami. Yeah. Okay. So let's look at the next Menchas Chinuch. Says the Menchas Chinuch as follows when he's discussing the issur of making a menorah. Says the Menchas Chinuch, V'hine ha-menorah v'ha-shulchan. Since I know that it can't be changed, kihu mikra mafurish b'Torah, because it's mafurish in the Torah, v'gam shlomo v'anshe knesa gadol b'bayi sheni lo shinu, they didn't change the dimensions of the menorah, they changed the dimensions of the tavnas hamizbeach, the tavnas haheichol, but not of the menorah per se. Says the Menachas Chinuch, we know the dimensions of the menorah. That would be usher. Kivin the tzurasa yadua. Begamani mistape kinechad banabayis yoser arach mehechol deshari whatever. So then he talks about the hechol. Fine.
Yeah.
So that's what we're getting at. Thank you. Hold on to that thought. Let's move on. We're not going to read the next lines in the Menachas Chinuch because we're running out of time. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch Yeruday, look at number Dalet. He talks about your point right now. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Ches. Lo yasa, a person's not allowed to make the heichal, the bayis, the shulchan, this, and then says the shulchan aruch, he's not allowed to make the menorah, or tavnis menorah. Avol, osa shal chamesh, kanim, osa shisha, oshmona, avol shal shiva, lo yasala, afila misha matachos. Even if it's not gold, why? Because the Gemara said gold is not ma'akiv. The chatchili is supposed to have gold, but with the evidence not ma'akiv. Va'afilu, your point, afilu belo gvim kaftar muprachim. Even if I make my menorah without all the fancy shtiklach that they used to have on the Beis Hamikdash menorah, it's still aser. Va'afilu ena gavol yud ches tvachim. I, the Beis Hamikdash menorah, was 18 tvachim high. Still, since that shear is not said explicitly in the Torah, therefore, we assume that it's still aser to make. Says the Shach, in explaining the line here in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, the determining factor of what's mutter and what's aser is as follows. Afilu shar minim atachu, zak the Shach. Sha'af ha'pisha ena shal zav. Since even if I make a menorah that's not manufactured with zav, it would be kosher for the mishamigdash. Aval ena shamatachas. But if I make a menorah out of eitz, out of wood, shari, that would be permissible. Why? Dipsula b'migdash. So basically, the Shach tells us anything that would have been kosher in the Beis Hamikdash is usher for us to do nowadays. Anything that would have been possible for the Beis Hamikdash is okay nowadays. Look at the next line in the Shach. Afila below gviim. Dekolzeh ena ma'akev, says the Shach. Why, if I make a menorah bezmanazeh without all the gevim uprachim and kaftorim, why is that okay? Why is that aser? Because if I make the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash without all these different things, it's okay also, it's not ma'akev. So anything that's not ma'akev in the Beis Hamikdash would make it aser for us to do bezmanazeh. Take that to the next level, says the Pischei Tshuva, an interesting question. What happens, generally when we discuss, the shaila that I've gotten is, when we want to buy a leichter with seven lights on it, so that's round. We know the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash was, whatever that shape is, but it's not round. It's not in a circle. So, says the Pischei Tshuva as follows, I am the Sefer Bechor Shar, Bechidush of the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and he writes as follows, Asher Chadashim Mikarav Bo, Osim Kivunim Lemalechas Menorahs Hamikdash, so people say, yeah, I'm not making a leichter that looks like the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash menorah was in an oval shape, in a semicircle. This menorah that I'm making is in a full circle.
What semicircle?
It was like this, right? But they were all in a line.
No, I'm saying it's just array. Didn't
it? Right, it was all in a line.
Over one level.
Right.
Where was it?
No, meaning a leichter you're doing in a circle, right? A leichter you're doing in a circle. Over there, you had seven branches coming out of the middle, but they were all in a straight line. They weren't in a circle. So that's the question that he wants to know. Would that be permissible or not? Says the Bechor Shar, that's not right. You're not allowed to make a leichter that's with seven branches. Even in a circle, it's usher. Why? Why? Because it's not ma'akiv. I know it sounds funny, but let's say in the Beis Hamikdash, we take the branches and we twist them out of place. And now we have the menorah in a circle instead of in a line. So is that permissible or not? Bechor Shor says yes. So since that would be permissible in the Beis Hamikdash, Memela, that would not be a heter bezmanazeh. No. So an hour later, here we are, without a heter. What is the heter to make a leichter, even out of silver, because we said gold is not ma'akiv. So silver is usher. So I'm going to make my leichter out of silver. Next date it was, maybe make it circle. Circle is usher also. Because in the Beis Hamikdash, that wasn't ma'akiv. So what am I left with? What is the heter to make a seven-stick candelabra?
Different size.
Different size. Well, different size, a good point. However, we just saw that the 18 tvachim were not ma'akiv either. If, let's say, I'm making the Beis Hamikdash a small menorah, it's okay.
Every candle is a different size. I know, so the candle's like this,
Right, so I don't think that's ma'akiv either. So what are we left with? So what's the heter? So Rav Moshe writes a heter as follows. What's for the rabbim?
It's nice. We want to be shown the nice to everybody.
No, not Hanukkah. I'm talking about Stam. Your wife wants to buy a leichter right? The Shaila I had gotten from a bunch of people was they have five children and two parents, so they want to light seven candles for Shabbos. But they don't want to have a mess. They don't want to, as each child was being born, they bought, add another. Now that all the kids are born already, they want to have a leichter with seven places to light on it. So is that permissible or not? So Rav Moshe tried to save the day, but he was not successful. Rav Moshe tried to save the day, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, in the Beis HaMikdash, you had to have a place that holds a chatziluk shemen, because it has to burn through the whole night. So therefore Rav Moshe says, well, that's a great etzah. Make a menorah bizman hazeh, that make a leichter that can hold that much oil, and nobody's leichter can hold chatziluk shemen. It's impossible. Right? You're going to have these huge cups. So make something like that, and then Mimela is not going to be an issue. However, Rav Moshe then himself kills the day, because Rav Moshe says, no, that's not going to help. Why? Because what about the Leilos HaKetzarim? What about the shorter nights in the middle of the summer? You didn't need a Chatziluk Shemen to make it through the whole night. And not only that, says Rav Moshe, what if I made Psilas Dakim? What if I made very tiny wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, and they weren't so absorbent, right? They didn't absorb so much of the oil. So what would you say then? I don't need so much shemen. So he says, you see that my eitzah is not a good eitzah. I thought maybe you should make a cup that's smaller than a chatziluk shemen. Says Rav Moshe, whoever said you need a chatziluk shemen in the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe even if I have a cup that's smaller than a chatziluk shemen, it's also okay. So now we're back to square one. We have no heter. What is the heter to make a seven-stick candelabra? So just before we get to that, I thought maybe what's the din? If a guy makes it for me, I don't know how to make a seven-stick candelabra. So maybe if a guy makes it for me, it's fine. So that's a big discussion in the Pischei Tshuva as well. A big machlokes achronim. What do you say if a guy makes it and I just leave it in my home? Is that permissible or not? Seemingly, if the whole thing is really based on Mora Migdash, I would say that what? You can't leave it around your house. It's not because of Lo Sasun Iti. If it's Lo Sasun, so then you're not allowed to make it. So as long as I didn't make it, maybe it's mutter. If it's because of Mora Migdash, so I'm violating my covenant to the Beis HaMikdash by having this in my home, even if somebody else made it. And even according to those achronim that say that it's mutter, as long as somebody else makes it, if it's a guy that makes it, still, says the Shach, if I pay the guy to do it, then that's as if I'm doing it myself. The only time you would assume it might be mutter, according to these achronim, is if the guy makes it on his own, I happen to pass by his store and I say, oh, that's a very nice thing, I may as well buy it. But if I ask him, I commission him to make it, or I'm the silver store, I own the silver store, and someone comes in and then I go and ask the guy to make it on my behalf, it's still not going to be mutter. So back to square one, what are we going to do? What is the heter to make these seven-stick candelabras? What is the heter for us to have these leichters around their homes? So the only heter I came up with when I discussed this with my father was the following. In the Gemara Menachos Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, as well as the Rambam in Beis HaMechira, in the first parak, Halacha Yud Ches, they assume that if you have cups to hold the oil, so we already said, you don't need a cup that holds a chatziluk shemen, because you have the short nights, or you can have a small psila. But if you have cups that are made from schuchis, or from cheres, if you have cups that are not made from metal, that would passel the menorah. That's the Gemara says beferish, and that's the way the Rambam passes. So I have a very simple etzah. Buy a seven-stick candelabra, and put a glass cup on top, even if it holds ogmel chabashan, right? If you put a glass cup on top, that passels the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the place where the candle is going to be held, right?
We have a glass insert.
Right, that's what holds the candle. So as long as that insert is not made from metal, then that's mutter. So I was thinking, well, nowadays they make the insert, and sometimes they have a fancier thing to put around the insert, like a silver plate to put around the cup, right? You know what I'm talking about? So then you're back to square one, you're back to the problem. So the best thing to do if a person wants to have these seven-stick candelabras is just put a cup, an insert that is either cheres or is zechuchis, it's not made of metal, and that will solve all the problems. Because again, the bottom line in the Shulchan Aruch is anything that's not ma'akev in the Beis HaMikdash makes it aser for us. Anything that is ma'akev in the Beis HaMikdash is mutter for us. So over here, where we know that the cheres and zechuchis is ma'akev in the Beis HaMikdash, that would be mutter. So then that leads to the next question, then what are all the achronim bothered with when you have the electronic menorah in the base HaKnesses? Let's say they have for the 6 million Jews, right? So sometimes they make six candles, and then they make a seventh to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever, right? So a lot of shuls have this on the Mizrach, they have a big thing. So it's a big discussion in the Poskim. So now, when I was going through it, I was wondering, what's the tzad to Aser? What do you mean? You can't have that in the base HaMikdash. So my father said, well, who said the Kohen Gadol wouldn't be allowed to light the menorah with a light bulb?
It's Shemin Zayis.
So is Shemin Zayis the Yikuva?
Of course.
Not clear. It's not clear. If you want to stay another 2 minutes, an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph, when it talks about the Chanukah sugyas, that says Psilos Ushmanim, that are not allowed to be used for Chanukah, you're also not allowed to use them for the Beis HaMikdash. Frekar B'Kivager and the Gilyan HaShas, what do you mean, Psilos Ushmanim? Shmanim, what do you mean? All the different oils that you're not allowed to use for Chanukah, you're not allowed to use for the Beis HaMikdash, you're only allowed to use Shemen Zayis in the Beis HaMikdash. What's the Gemara talking about? That's your Kasha, right? So B'Kivager. So many Rishonim say, nah, it's a misprint. Really, it should just say Psilos, and the Gemara mistakenly put in Shmanim. Okay, fine. The Rashash says, no, it just says, the Gemara always says Psilos Ushmanim together. It's just a catchphrase. The Gemara always puts them together. Some Achronim say, my father likes to quote this, some Achronim say, he says it from a Ruchim Fischel Perlau. I don't know that it's really there, because I looked, they have a new printing of a Ruchim Fischel Perlau with a whole volume of Maftechus. A whole separate volume, so I assume somewhere in the Maftechus this will be there. And I looked and looked today in the library, and it's not there, so I don't know. But it's somewhere else. My father quotes some Achronim answer the Kasha to Rabbi Kivager. What is the Gemara mean that says Psilos Ushmanim? That, yeah, that's just the Chatchila you have to light with Shem Zayis, but maybe B'di'evad you can light with something else. So if we hold, let's say, by Ner Shabbos, person is going, you know, he's in a hotel. You're not allowed to light candles in a hotel, obviously, that's usher. And if you do so, you're a ganav. So if a person goes to a hotel for Shabbos and he wants to light Shabbos candles, what does he do? We hold, turn on the switch, right? You turn on the lights. Preferably if it's fluorescent, you know, you should find some other way. But if it's not a fluorescent bulb, certainly you're allowed to do it. That's what almost all the Achronim say. And you're even allowed to make a bracha on it. So if we hold that electronic, you know, light bulbs are the same as candles, so maybe Anachinami in the Beis HaMikdash also, light bulbs could have been used for the menorah. It sounds like a pella, whatever. We need some more work on this, but this is the basic sugya. And I think that's the only heter that stands for the seven-stick candelabras is if you use a cup that's made from zechuchis or from cheres. So again, next week we're not going to be here. My father's going to give a shir. And in 2 weeks I'm out of town.